Thank you for checking out this week's podcast from Southport Church. We hope that this message inspires you and encourages you to grow in your faith and your walk with Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry and our church family, you can check us out at southportchurchonline.com, and you can visit us every Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10:30 a.m. If you are inspired by this message and you'd like to let us know, you can always send us an email at office@southportchurchonline.org. And if you would like to continue to support this ministry, you can go to our website and click the Give for one of our options to support the ministry. Be blessed and enjoy. Let's pray, church. God, we thank you for this worship this morning, God, and we thank you that our souls do cry out and that we do seek for your light to shine in our lives, in our hearts. And God, I pray that we can continue to hear you this morning. Maybe for the first time after a long time, or maybe for the first time with an extra measure of clarity and resolve. God, I pray that you are in this space and that the words that we hear with our hearts and our minds are coming from you for us, your people. And God, I thank you that we are now able to step into this next time together as we prepare for Easter in the weeks to come. We thank you for this praise and this worship and this time together. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning, church. Thankful to be with you today. And as we start a new series this morning, and it's a series that is going to carry us right up into Holy Week. And as we enter to Holy Week, we are going to be trekking a new road today, and we're going to be going on a particular route together, and I'm excited about that. And this series comes out of the miracle that took place in the events before, during, and after the parting of the Red Sea. And in these next 4 weeks, I hope that you decide to journey with us each and every week. And as we take this trek together, as we perhaps as you strap in, as you suit up, as you get on the right footwear, so to speak, and you put on the appropriate hardtitude. Now, I thought I made up that word until I Googled it, and I'm just late behind that. I thought I was really clever. There's nothing new under the sun, but that's okay. So as we get ready to walk the Red Sea Road together, and I'm really excited about this series, and I want us to make way and make ready for the miracle. And you may be thinking that the miracle I'm speaking of is the parting of water, but really that was only part of the larger story of God telling us what was to take place in the climactic moment of what is Easter morning. And when that they thought was over had in fact just came into fullness, when what they thought was promise had turned into disaster, was exactly what God was using to bring his kingdom to greater heights. And they thought that all there was left was the pain of Friday. They didn't expect the beauty and the life that arose on Sunday. And sometimes we too can't see what is to come because we're stuck in the disaster of what maybe is taking place now. Or maybe it was years ago and we're still stuck in that Friday moment. Well, I want us to see that the miracle that I am seeking for us to realize is that God is making us ready for what the story of the gospel is to be for us in our lives. Each and every day. Not just Sunday. And our text is going to come through this series from the final conflict that the people of God have with the Egyptians and Pharaoh. The very end of a 400-year relationship between the richest authority of the world at the time and the people of God. And we can sum up that this relationship held only the benefits for one side, and it exploited the needs and the dignity of the other. Ever been in a relationship like that? Do you ever get a view that how this power struggle between God's people is just as threatened today between God's authority and some other influence or power in the world today? It's still raging on. It's just a different form. And it's important to me that in the time I get to teach and preach to you, that so much of what I have to bring forth is that many people have misplaced the root of their lives. And I recalled this week that the first sermon I ever gave was titled Rooted. I wanted to know where we were rooted here when I came and showed up for the first time at West Sacramento. Because so much of where and what develops in your life takes shape of where you've planted yourself. And when I speak of the root, what I mean, the place where your deepest love comes to play out in your life. People all the time misquote scripture and say money is the root of all evil, as if you saw a $5 bill rolling across the concrete, you'd run away from it like it's a spider or a snake, right? No, you would go and you'd pick up that $5 bill, you put it in your pocket, and you go to Starbucks and get a coffee, because it costs that these days, $5. So, but no, they misquote it, because actually what it is that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, not money itself. And so it's important that we realize that when we're approaching Scripture and when we read about salvation, that salvation is not just a destination. It's not a spot on the map. It's also at the beginning, developed along the way of your life and fully realized before the throne of God, as your knee and my knee and your tongues and my tongue are going to confess that the Lord is God in heaven. Amen. And that's what's going to be realized. And the root of why I want us to focus on the color of the Red Sea isn't because of the story of the Israelites. I want us to also consider the color of Christ's passion and the shedding of his blood at Easter. Let us be prepared to take this trek. And here we go into the Red Sea road. Why don't you say to someone, walk with me. Even if you got a cane, walk with me. Good. Okay, I think we're awake. We're getting there. I know yesterday it was, well, my watch says it's 10 o'clock. I don't know what's going on with Apple today, but that's okay. So, maybe they're not awake yet. So here we go into Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. As Pharaoh drew near, the Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, the Israelites cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and leave us, and let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." And as we set off into this journey, I was looking at this set of scripture from beginning in chapter 14, verse 10, and going all the way to the end of 31. And I was just seeing how God was just, he just downloaded the series to me. And I was just nerding out like somebody, a bookworm at school. And I was reading over commentaries and notes. And I'm just so excited at what we get to break apart these next 4 weeks. And we're going to focus on these particular scriptures today, and we'll continue week after week. And this is a setup for the series today, but it's also, the title is going to be bringing out the reality that on the Red Sea Road, I want us to understand that it was a matter of the root of the route. It's a matter of the root of the route that you go on in life. You see, I grew up on dirt country roads, and I remember all these kind of paved roads, these gravel roads, these dirt roads, these pothole roads, these bike trails, these deer trails. I remember all these ways that you could go all over the mountains and the valleys, and there was direct ways and indirect ways and ways that made you go literally around a mountain and back. Like, what was the point of that, you know? And I remember when I was 9 years old and my younger brother was 2 days old, we had to evacuate. See, somebody in a hot August afternoon, decided up in the mountains to light toilet paper instead of burying it. And it started to catch on trees and more trees and homes. And suddenly almost the whole county was ablaze. And we thought we were going to miss it. We thought that the fire was going to go around us. And then suddenly the sheriff came blaring down into the valley on one of those dirt roads, telling us to get out. We had 20 minutes. And I remember my neighbors panicking, and my parents and I, and my little newborn brother, trying to pack our truck and our car. And the only thing I remember worrying most about was making sure they packed the TV. And they weren't flat back then. That took up a lot of room, unfortunately. But and I remember that we were told that we could not go out the way that we normally go, the main road. And that we were going to have to meander around and go on these switchbacks and go down to these valleys to spit out on the other side near Beale Air Force Base. Because the way that we usually would take was dangerous, and we were certain to die. And I just remember that picture being very different, that we couldn't go the way that we were comfortable at. We had to go this new way, this awkward way, this difficult way. And what we miss in the story and the backstory here of Exodus, if you read before it at home, is that when Pharaoh let go the 600,000 men and then the families and children and everything else, there was over 1 million people, including the bones of Joseph, because they kept their promise to Joseph. They could have taken all of that and taken the wide, easy road that led them into the land of the Philistines. But God did not take them that way. The people of Exodus would have ran into many outposts, all military outposts, very fortified, very aware of what was taking place in Egypt, and that the Israelites were the cause of that. And if God had taken them that easy way, they would have seen all the temptation to be afraid, all the threats, all the things that they were trying to figure out in their mind. Because here's the thing. 400 years they had this authority that they were the slaves to the power of the world. And then their perspective shifted when this man who held a staff and had a mixed past started to speak the word of God. And then all of a sudden, after 400 years, they were let go. And I wonder who still held the authority in their minds. Was it this new God who was starting to lead them out? Or was it the authority that their ancestors of 400 years were slaves to? They would have turned quickly right back into the arms of slavery if they met those outposts and those other places that would have taunted them and encouraged them to turn back. So there they went, meandering around into valleys and different distances and different plains. And they saw, and they were able to see these reminders and these checkpoints that would have taken them back. And I wonder if sometimes that you trek out into a new way that God's called you, or there's something new in your life you're wanting to take shape. Like, for example, a diet. You're going to go a new route. You're going to avoid all those sugars. And then, you know, like me with young kids, it's cookie time. Betty Crocker's in the house. It's wafting in. And suddenly my resolve just crumbles like a cookie that I want to eat, right? And I'm going to run back in the arms of Betty Crocker again instead of the diet plan. And so sometimes God leads people on a pathway, like the Israelites that are meandering away from a known and a bit further out of their comfort zone. And sometimes he does that with us. He meanders us and takes us away from the known, the understood, into something that's drastic and different and foreign. And I don't know if you ever sought to break away from an authority that was contrary to God in your life, some power that was holding you in or holding you back or stifling you. And you probably took really big, drastic steps to start following God. You started reading the word seriously, and you wanted to understand what it meant, John 1:1. What does that mean? Or you started to exercise prayer, and you realized that it's not just you in the room anymore, that there's actually an intangible God, an all-knowing God, wanting to commune with you, wanting to hear your heart, wanting to know you. And you start taking those steps. and you started to see that God's route for your life was suddenly going off the well-tracked, the wide-worn, and the crowded route that most people take in their lives. And if that's you, if you're starting to take those first steps, keep going. If it's been many decades and you're still going around and you're still following God, be encouraged because you're an example to others. And maybe that was you for a period of time, then I want to encourage you today, get up and get going. Because God's calling you to take steps of faith each and every day. As long as you draw breath, it's a chance to follow His route for you. So suddenly this call from God was to leave perhaps the plan and the intention of some other authority. And perhaps if for us, it's to leave the plan and intention of some other authority that we are giving ourselves to. Maybe it's some hold of sin, or perhaps to abandon our own route that we've charted. And even if your life you hold on to is still under some authority right now, some power, some oppression that robs you of a voice or some security or some part of your identity of who God made you to be or to become, the call still remains that is to break free from those people who have we allowed to determine who we are and how we to function in the world. And we need to proclaim boldly and loud and with resolve that that's not the route God has for you. That's not my route. That's not the life I want to live. God is the only one who has the best way for you, the best pathway, because it's rooted in His love and His all-knowing knowledge for you. I don't know about you, but on my smart device, I have like three different apps for maps. Different map apps. You ever tried different map apps? I tried the first one that this phone came with, and then I got lost, and I was late for a class for like an hour. I never used that app again. Never again. And I tried some other ones. And there's some apps that lead you on the well-worn, the well-used, the most known route. And when you use that, you usually end up in traffic, right? Because that's where everyone else is at. And then I found this one app that it's amazing. It takes you all these side routes and these local streets, and it can gauge the timing of things. And you find yourself driving in neighborhoods you've never known before. And people are looking at you like, you don't belong here. That's totally different, you know. And I remember we did that in Hawaii. We were in Hawaii, and it was a great way to see the island. And we were totally lost, but we were totally in authentic Hawaii. And we got there a lot faster than all the other places. And so it was amazing. Sometimes there are people who are like these apps that get us lost or confused or jammed up. Their emotional jabs or their reroutes leave us overextended of our own challenges and our own insecurities, and they exacerbate because of their own failed ability to reciprocate and pour into us and to replenish all the outpour that we have been putting into them. And we find ourselves overextended. We find ourselves like the Israelites, exploited, or we find ourselves used or feeling uncared for or unnurtured or unprovided for. And sometimes there's people who just call that upon ourselves. And what they're rooted in is not in our best interest, and it's certainly not in what God wants for us. And this is most tricky in relationships where the roles are built around the structure of like a marriage commitment, or the loyalty in friendship, or the trust in partnership. I would say that if you're married, if your aim is to not be led or to lead under the authority of God's direction for your life and your growth and your relationship with one another, then you are not rooted in the covenant that you vowed yourself to. Well, I didn't sign up for God to determine that. I didn't know that Jesus needed to be in the middle of my marriage. Then maybe you didn't know that the author of marriage required that of you when you signed up for it. And the thing is that you actually have a better chance of reaching the top of Mount Everest today than you do in remaining married in our culture now, statistically. And those who climb Mount Everest, they think they just go out and do it by themselves in their shorts and their deck shoes. No, they got Sherpas, I think what they call them. They plan out the route. They know where they're going. They gauge the weather. They understand how to get to each base camp to reach the top. And we think you can do marriage all by yourself? You think you don't need guides? You don't think you need input? You don't think you need people who have been there before? It's the same with relationships and friendships and partnerships and how to be employees and all these things. How do you live your life rooted in the love and the wisdom and the confidence and the care and the understanding that He is the one that's to set your route in your life? Not on your own. The root of the route has everything to do with the outcome of your life being successful if you follow God's authority as the map maker. God made the map for you, the route for you. For Pharaoh, once the Israelites were seen meandering near the kingdom, one of these outposts I mentioned probably saw them. I mean, it's a million people, right? Kind of hard not to see them, right? So word got back to Egypt. And so God decided that He was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He was going to use Pharaoh. And Pharaoh and the official said, what did we do? We let our working force leave. We need to go after them. And God hardened the heart of Pharaoh not to enslave His people, but to use Pharaoh as a means of now turning the hearts of His people away from Pharaoh and over to God. Because of what God was going to do with Pharaoh. And that's the thing. Sometimes God brings us close to a threat of disaster as a moment for us to turn fully from whatever it is that we are seeking to be our other authority, to turn from that and to fully turn ourselves to God. Sometimes God does that. He allows that. He allows you to get close to that for us to go, no way, I'm not going there. I need the Lord. So 600 of His choice chariots come upon these 600,000 men who are able-bodied. And these armies that surprise the Israelites totally crumbles their morale. And what do we see? Instead of a cry of help that is rooted in a faith in God, there was a cry of desperation and panic and fear and hopelessness. And when we ourselves are on the route of our lives and we start making steps of faith, we have probably learned in the first week or so that it's not going to be easy. The bills are going to keep coming in the mail, right? The scale might keep tipping the way we don't want it to, right? That person that has the right heartitude at all the family gatherings or friend gatherings still hasn't changed at all. So following God is not going to be this miracle pill. It's going to still require us to face these trials and these threats or these oppositions or these challenges. So how do you cry out to God when those things come? Is it a call of faith that we turn to God and help? And I guarantee that a certain destroyer of your faith is when you cry out in desperation. Because desperation is the reality that you are following after God, but there's no existence of a true hope. Following God with no presence of hope in your life is not faith. And when the authority you have sought to break free from calls upon you to submit to it again, when the sin you thought you tackled once and for all starts to crop up again, when that person from your past comes in to trigger you all over again, and when you look up and see the army of whatever authority coming to sweep in upon you, it is those who trust and identify that God has you on this road because His grand plan is for your life, for you to call out in hope, for you to call out in trust, for you to call out in authority and in truth, for help, for confidence, for peace, for assurance that you will always be able to stand and say, thanks be to God. He gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Amen. And maybe you've tried every other solution out there. Every other solution of desperation. And all that is left for you is to call out the help through the faith of the God that you are willing to trust. Once again, God, show up. Once again, fight for me, God. Once again, give me wisdom. Once again, help me to step forward in faith even though I'm afraid. Make a way where there is none, God. Why wait as the beloved sons and daughters of God to tap into this love, to tap into this hope, to lean into this truth? Because God has a route rooted for you solely on the basis of his love. Seeing the response of the Israelites makes me think of something. They are so slow to believe. So slow to believe, right? 400 years of slavery. God comes in through Moses and plagues, and he breaks the backs of their whip masters. And they still turn on the guy who was the conduit of it all. Fire by night as they're being led, a cloud by day, and they still see slavery as a better option than a faith that is leading them by miracles and wonders to freedom. And I wonder, do we wrestle with some known imprisonment of sin and settle it for over the wild, unknown opportunity of faith that is found through the route of obedience? Have we yet to take a long, hard consideration that the root of a journey with God is a route that resides you and I in freedom? A road that leads to peace and victory? Or do we still choose the route of a route that leaves us full of fear and despair? What route are you going to root yourself in? And maybe you haven't fully allowed the ties, the comfortability of conformity to finally be undone and the shackles being taken off. I don't know if you've ever broken an arm or a leg or you ever had something like a bandage and you know, it gets uncovered for the first time and your skin is like super sensitive. It feels really vulnerable. You almost have grown accustomed to that bondage or that bandage. It's very much the same way. Sometimes we're settled for not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable, not allowing ourselves to trek where God has called us. We may say, well, I don't know what it's like to not be their punching bag. I don't know what it's like to not have them need me. I don't know what it's like to take that route that I always take, even though it only works like 5% of the time. I don't know any other way. You see, perhaps the root of the problem of your route that you're living right now is you haven't yet seen what true freedom looks like as you discover that he is leading you to further and further measures, further and further heights and depths and widths of freedom. I love what scripture says. It says, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, what he has prepared for you as you walk and follow him. Because he loves you. Oh, what awaits you because you walked in obedience on this day, on the day that was hard, on the day you couldn't forgive that person, on the day you felt alone, on all those days as you can continue to keep risking in faith that and trusting and knowing that the root of your life is founded by the maker of heaven that wants to see you keep stepping forward day by day until you realize the full extent of the journey he's put you on is to sit at the footsteps of his throne in heaven. It doesn't end when you stop breathing. So let me ask you, how are you risking in your life right now to step out into the road that is less traveled, that is unknown, and that you're counting on God to bring you to the point where what you have left is only your trust in him? That's all you need, is to trust the Lord. A lot of people ask for clarity. God, bring me clarity. Mother Teresa was asked once, do you pray for clarity? I do not pray for clarity. I pray that I can trust the Lord more. Because clarity is actually an unforeseen way of trying to control. And if we can see everything ahead of us, then what need do we have for God? But if we can pray that we can trust the Lord with all our strength, mind, and hearts, We can trust him even though there's an army coming over the hill. There's a sea at our backs. We can trust that the Lord has rooted us in his love. And he can give us space to stand firm, to not be afraid, and with confidence to see him fight our battles, to see him work for our good and his fame and his glory. So be still and know that the root of the route that seems too much, maybe there's something that's so overwhelming or that is perhaps too amazing that it's actually yours to be stepping into, is stemming from a place where you will come to know and to trust, yet you will always see the Lord accomplish on your behalf. You will always see God do greater things than you could possibly imagine and dream if you keep stepping in faith and obedience towards him. God creates an inroad where there's no way. And I know many people are living proof of that. I'm living proof of that. Trust that as you were bought as a price, you're bought at a price. And as Jesus made his route to the cross, the root of the hope then is the same as it was for the Israelites and is for us. That we would come to know Yahweh as our God. That we would come to know Jesus as our Messiah. That he is leading us, fighting for us, supplying space for us to stand still, to stand firm, and to see the route of your life is not going to be cut off from you. I don't know if you ever worry about that. God's goodness for you will end. You'll end up in a spot where you have nowhere to turn. I want you to always find yourself willing and ready to turn in faith, to cry out for help, to cry out for joy, to cry out for in trust that the victory is ours because of Jesus, because we trust in that authority over any other authority that's under the earth or above, under the sky. Trust and know that we worship with in obedience, that in the stillness and in the firm stance that we take on this journey, that Jesus is rooted in God's unwavering love for you. And that is the route we must all take on this Red Sea road together. Let us pray. God, I thank you that this is the route of our lives and it's rooted in your love. And Lord, I don't know what people are facing in this room, what they're struggling with, what they're excited about. I don't know where they're rooted. I don't know what they're looking forward to or if they have nothing to look forward to. Perhaps there are threats creeping over the horizon. We don't want to be like the Israelites who grumbled and then they crumbled. They grumbled and then they crumbled because their hope wasn't in you. And may our hope be in you. So that when threats come our way, we can stand firm. When the opportunity to help someone is there, we have confidence and love to extend ourselves. God, I pray that this morning, as we trek into this Red Sea road together, that we prepare ourselves to continue to see the miracles of your love for us. The change of heart, the circumstances that are just beyond belief, the renewing, the restoration, the reinstating, the revisioning, all these things that you've given us, God. May we continue to see that you're working on our behalf because you love us. And you don't want our hearts being owned by anything else or anyone else but you. We love you, God, and we celebrate your goodness to us, Jesus. You're so good to us, God. And we love you. And may we find ourselves extending ourselves because we're rooted in your love this week. In Jesus' name we pray.